We welcome Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune, who covers Notre Dame football. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Eric, first off, let's talk about this Notre Dame season. Started out not being ranked in the top 25, and lo and behold, Brian Kelly finds his Fighting Irish playing in the national championship game.
Right. Well, I think, you know, I'm an AP voter, and I think I might have had them 25th. To start. So I was with everybody else. I was a little bit skeptical, and I think there were reasons for not only voters to be skeptical, but Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
You know, they had to replace a receiver like Michael Floyd, who had 100 catches and didn't really seem to have a dynamic player with experience on the roster. You had a quarterback question, a brand new quarterback starting. It's Brian Kelly's third year. He's had a first year quarterback as a starter. And then you had some really big questions in the secondary and some devastating injuries there, too. And you ended up with a guy at safety with a little experience and then three converted offensive players, one of whom was a true freshman. So I think the skepticism was justified, but also, you know, Brian Kelly has brought it all together into a number one team.
Talk a little bit about Mante Teo. I've looked at some of his stats, and you look at the Michigan game, he not only, you know, for a middle linebacker, he had two interceptions, Oklahoma interception, USC interception. He just seems to make a play when a play needs to be made. And did they just rally around him? Is he truly the leader of that defense?
I think he's the leader of campus. I think if there was a vote between him and Father Jenkins, he would get more votes right,
right
now. He's got an incredible reach beyond his stats. You talk to Notre Dame's got an unbelievable linebacker class coming in, and a lot of those guys picked Notre Dame because of Mante Teo. And you talk about, you know, giving confidence to the young quarterback. The guy that's in Everett Golson's ear is Mante Teo. So he does everything. If he was a lousy football player, he'd still be an asset to this team. But he's certainly the best football player I've seen in person. I haven't seen Johnny Manziel in person. I think he's amazing what he's doing at Texas A&M.
Right.
But of the people that I've seen in person, Mante Teo, there's nobody even close to what he does on the field. That's when you don't even add all the other stuff in.
Yeah, if I had a vote for the Heisman, he's who I would vote for. I think he's done an awesome job. And a lot of people, you hear the radio and all the guys talking about how Notre Dame can't compete with the SEC. There's probably five teams that could beat Notre Dame if they played them, blah, blah, blah. I think Notre Dame matches up well, especially with their defense. Now, you got Bama and Georgia in the SEC championship game. Which of those do you think gives Notre Dame the toughest competition, would be harder for Notre Dame to beat?
I think it's definitely Alabama. You know, when you look at Georgia, they've been susceptible, especially with their run defense, the game they lost to South Carolina and the close call they had with Kentucky, both of those teams had big rushing days, and Notre Dame's capable of doing that against just about anybody. They had 150 yards against the number one rush defense of the country, Stanford, and they had 270 against the number four, which is BYU. So I think, you know, Alabama's run defense seems to be more stout. There's matchups with Alabama on the offensive line at a lot of positions where I think it's just a little bit more difficult. Georgia certainly has the great linebacker in Jarvis Jones who can be disruptive, but I think you can live with him and take on the rest of their defense. I'm not really sold on the rest of their defense.
I agree with
I'm
you.
A big SEC admirer, though. If you look at my top 25 poll, which people can do online, I think I have at least two, three, four, five are SEC teams. I think Florida's awfully good. I think South Carolina's awfully good. But Notre Dame's defense gives them a chance to compete with anybody. That's always been the knock on Notre Dame in the post-Lou Holtz era, is that, you know, they get to the big stage and they fall off because they don't have the front seven that SEC teams do. I think they have that now. And it's just, do they have enough other parts to go with that front seven to win a national championship?
Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune joins us. Eric, when you look at this Notre Dame football team, and they could either – well, they're going to be going up against either Alabama or Georgia. Alabama's been on the BCS stage, the national championship, before. Georgia trying to get there. Notre Dame's trying to knock off one of the SEC big schools, basically, and keep them from winning another championship. Do you think that the players feel like that, hey, we've got the whole country behind us trying to knock off the schools in the South, one of these teams from the SEC?
I don't know that they feel that way, because there's a lot of Notre Dame haters out there, and they hear from them all the time. You know, they're kind of a polarizing team. People, a lot of people love them that didn't even go to the school, and a lot of people can't stand them and don't think that they're very good, and they point to some close calls against Purdue and Pittsburgh. I don't know that they're getting that sense, and honestly, I don't know that they care necessarily. They've been a team that a lot of people haven't believed in all year, so I think they almost prefer that people, you know, to be the underdog and that people, you know, feel like they don't have a chance in this game.
How does Brian Kelly do it with his team to keep them to focus on the task at hand, and I guess basically like a horse, keep blinders on so you don't see what's going on with the outside?
He's done a great job with that. And at Notre Dame, it's really difficult for a number of reasons. One is just so many more people care about what Notre Dame is doing, whether they're doing well or whether they're not. And then a lot of the players live in the regular dorms. If you're a junior or younger, you live with the regular student population. So you're hearing all the noise in the dorms from people. You can't really isolate yourself. But they got to a point in this season where, and Manti Te'o's been really good at getting this point across, is remember who we are, remember who we got, how we got here. And we got here by, you know, being tough-minded and not, you know, not getting ahead of ourselves, taking one game at a time, all the coach speak stuff. But they really do that. They don't worry about style points. You know, that was a big topic of conversation when they were on the outside of looking in of this game and undefeated, was, well, they don't have style points. Their style points are on defense, and I think they embrace that. You know, they hold teams to offensive totals that they've never seen before, and you know, they put up historic numbers. There's a couple of really good ones. One is that they're the only team in the country that hasn't allowed a touchdown drive of longer than 75 yards, and no one else has fewer than two. Of the drives that have started inside the opponent's 40-yard line, one has scored this year. So they've got historical numbers backing them up, and they've embraced that. And I think that's kind of taken away all the distractions. And USC did them, I would say USC's quarterback did them a little bit of a favor. I think people took it way out of context. The kid just was expressing confidence and being a backup quarterback and said, and we're going to win the game. But, you know, everybody tried to paint that as a guarantee, and the Notre Dame players, you know, it got them fired up and thinking about USC rather than thinking about who they might face in the championship game.
I guess they might be a little bit surprised after what happened when Alabama lost to Texas A&M. A&M goes into Tuscaloosa, defeats Alabama, and then lo and behold, the next week later, the 1-2 teams go down. Kansas State goes down. Oregon goes down. Notre Dame right there, all they have to do is win, and they're in the championship game. But yet, lo and behold, here comes the SEC back into the mix again. And if Notre Dame would have lost Saturday to USC, it could have been another all-SEC final with the way Florida was able to beat Florida State.
I think that's true. I think that's, again, how I would have voted it. I would have had Florida and Alabama 1-2, and so I think that would have been fair. You know, I'm not one of those people that feel like you shouldn't have an all-SEC or you shouldn't have two teams from the same conference. If they're the best two teams, let them play. Yeah. I didn't have a problem with last year's game. In fact, I was all for it. You know, if those are the best two teams, then those should be the two teams playing. Can you imagine if it was only conference champions and somehow Georgia Tech and Wisconsin got into the conversation here? That would be a travesty. I think this is much better having the best two teams play, no matter what conference.
I know with Notre Dame recruiting, it's a little tougher to get in that school than maybe some other ones. How has Chip Kelly done it?
Brian Kelly.
With able to, how's the recruiting class looking for next year, and has his success helped get some commits for maybe some more five-star and four-star players?
I think it's helped them hold on to them, and I think it's helped them pull some guys away from other programs. There's a safety, his name is Max Redfield, he's from California, and he's a USC commit, or was a USC commit, he's decommitted, and Notre Dame is his leader right now. I think that Alex Anzalone, a kid that was really tugging between Florida and Notre Dame and originally was committed to Ohio State, I think had Notre Dame not had the season it had, he would have ended up at Florida. So there's a few guys like that. Certainly with juniors, it's opened a lot of doors. I think they were going to have a really good recruiting class anyways. And again, they're restocking their linebacker core. They have some really good players there. You know, they're starting to get the elite defensive backs. That's kind of been a piece that's missing with Brian Kelly. I think the next step in the evolution is getting playmakers like Michael Floyd. I think he's got some good ones, but they don't have anybody of that caliber, you know, coming up on their roster. They have some, again, some speed, but they don't have that speed with the size.
Eric, we appreciate it. Enjoy South Beach in January.
I'm going to enjoy not being in the snow in South Bend, believe me.
Eric Hansen of the South Bend Tribune joining us. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you
soon. Thank you. Take care.